Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082. Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Are you a keen Sheffield Live listener? Do you want to get involved? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and it gets better when you take part. Contact us to find out how you can be part of Sheffield's newest radio station. Call us on 281-4092 or email us on info@sheffieldlive.org. 93.2 FM, Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
This is Sheffield Live.
This is Communities Live.
Because at that time the housing was cheaper.
I know it's not a big city centre, but there's still quite a few shops. I quite like it.
Dog and Partridge on Trippitt Lane every other Thursday.
I love the green room just for like acoustic nights.
This is Communities Live.
It's a very big question, isn't it?
We have a diverse society in Sheffield.
I like all the art sculptures.
It's friendly, there's a lot to do.
I really like the Peace Gardens. I like all the little fountains and little areas that you can just sit out and chill in.
Sheffield is a very nice city.
This is Communities Live.
I love Sheffield, yes. Love it. Been here 17 years.
I like Sheffield because the people are very friendly.
This is a large student community, so it makes it like very lively, very vibrant city in that regard, and also very multicultural, no?
And we love the Sheffield people.
Everything, the city, the nature, the outside of Sheffield. It's lovely. Great place.
Too much. You're the only one I wanna touch.
boldly go where no man has gone before.
It's time to open the music box. Join me, Steve Roden, every Thursday morning between 10 and 12 for music from the 40s to the 90s from my own music collection. Songs I've grown up with, ones I am sure you will enjoy hearing again. Hope to see you then.
Hello and welcome to Sheffield Live, Communities Live, 93.2 FM. I'm Oliver Dixon.
I'm Chris Anelli, sorry about that.
And I'm Bradley Middleton.
How are you both?
I'm all right. I'm very well, thank you. A little bit of a hiccup at the beginning. I think I was just talking to you, but
it's all good chat, don't worry.
How are you doing anyway, Oliver?
Yeah, I'm not bad, thank you. It's a bit of a horrible day outside, mind, weather-wise.
Shocking, it's rubbish outside.
Yeah, it's not a nice sight seeing rain.
So, I mean, you were talking about on the Commuters Live WhatsApp page that you were playing the Resident Evil games. So, yeah, how far have you got?
So, I'm currently playing Resident Evil 2. I've done one of the stories. I did Claire's story first. Now I'm on Leon's first story, because I know, spoiler alert, if anybody's wanting to play or hasn't played, there's a B path as well.
Yes.
Which you do. And then, so there's like four stories altogether. So I'm on the second one so far.
But do you feel like in the remake that was enough change in the second part? You know, like when you've done part A, it's like in the original game, there was enough changes in part B where it's like, how do I put it? Like, all the keys were in different places, all the doors were open when where Leon opened and stuff like that, if you follow what I mean. Do you feel like there's enough changes in the remake, or do you feel like it's just a rehash of the campaign again, just with Claire?
I think there's minor changes, so a couple of things are slightly different, but they are still very similar.
Yeah.
There might be a few changes here and there. There was Resident Evil Showcase last week, wasn't there, after we'd finished the show? What did you both think of that?
I completely forgot to watch it.
I watched the highlights. Well, I watched it after it was broadcast, at least. But we had a showcase for the new game.
I'm looking forward to it, but I think it's going to be polarising for some people, because there's going to be some people that's going to decide who wants to play in first person, and there's going to be a lot of people who wants to play it in third person. But you're going to get some... I mean, people are going to say, why don't we do, like, fixed camera angles again? Which is kind of old school, really. I mean, would you go back to fixed camera angles again, would you, Oliver? I mean, have you ever played a game with fixed camera angles?
I have before, and it's not too bad of an idea, actually.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it would work with a Resident Evil game, like a modern Resident Evil game.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, it might work for like a handheld game or something like that. But, I mean, for say next generation games and we want to go back to the old... I mean, don't get me wrong, old school. But, yeah, I don't know. What do you think, Oliver? I mean, have you ever played any Resident Evil games?
Well, I've not really played the Resident Evil games yet. I keep meaning to.
Right.
I think the 2 and 3 remasters are on Game Pass, as well as Village and one of the others. I can't remember which one.
I think it's 7. I think it's Resident Evil 7. Something like that.
I keep meaning to get them installed and give them a go. But about the third and first person and the fixed camera thing, I'm a bit unsure about the fixed camera thing, because I like to be able... I don't really know how that compares.
I'd have to see it for myself to then decide whether...
Yeah. I think the times have changed now, because, I mean, it's like, when you get fixed camera angles, you get tank controls. So, can you imagine tank controls on a next-gen game? I mean, don't get me wrong, like I say, there's not wrong going back to the old ways, but I think stick to what you know and stick to what everybody is, because... Resident Evil 4 was a game changer. And that's how over the shoulder first got to... Because it was revolutionary at the time. And it was a huge sellout, because I remember a time when I used to try finding it for GameCube and I could not for life of me find it, because it was that popular. It was one of the best top-selling games. And when you play it, you can see why. And, I mean, the remake is just as good. The remake is just as good, Resident Evil 4 remake. I think I'm a bit disappointed with Resident Evil 3 remake, though.
That could have been a lot better.
I mean, there were... I don't know, have you played the original PlayStation?
No.
Right. Well, I played Resident Evil in 1999, I know, that long. It's about 20, I mean, I must have been about 10, 11 years old. I still feel old now, I've talking about it. But there were a lot of content cut from the remake. I mean, you took out iconic locations, like the clock tower. I mean, the clock tower was such an iconic location in Resident Evil 3. I mean, you actually got to enter the building. In the Resident Evil remake, the third remake, I mean, spoilers for people, you only see the clock tower outside. You don't actually go in it. So they took a huge chunk of the story out there, I think, and it kind of ruined it.
Yeah, sounds like it.
But anyway, I mean, what are you playing so far, Brad?
Well, I'm always playing Minecraft. I've got a Forever World going. I'm back into Skyrim again.
Can I ask you something? You know what? I have never played Minecraft.
Never played Minecraft?
I have never even entered my head to play Minecraft. I've heard of a game, but I've never played with it. So tell us a bit about Minecraft.
So it's a survival game. You just spawn into a random, sort of randomly generated world.
Right.
You just try and survive. You spawn in with nothing. You have to punch trees to get wood, to make stuff out of wood.
Sounds very exciting,
doesn't it? Which I was about to say, it does sound like it could be made into a dirty joke or something. Yeah, and you're just like...
Is there a story? Is there like a story element to it?
Not for like the main game.
There's a separate game, isn't there?
There is
just literally called Minecraft Story Mode.
Yeah, there's that, and I don't know if Minecraft Legends is still going or not.
Couldn't tell you, I've not played Minecraft in ages.
No, so I couldn't tell you. But yeah, you just try and gather resources to survive, really.
I'll be honest with you, I like story-based games, so that's probably why I haven't played. I mean, I might have to give it a try and see, because you never know, I might like it. But
I mean, it's one of the best-selling games ever for a reason,
because
it's good.
And of course, they made the movie last year for it, and then I believe there's a second one coming
out. From what I've heard, yeah.
So it's a huge success.
Has anybody seen the movie, then? Have you two seen the movie?
I've seen it, yeah.
I've seen it, yeah.
I've not seen the film.
Surprisingly, I remember it got a lot of criticism when the first trailer came out and the cast got criticised, even though it had a pretty decent cast.
Yeah.
Because it stars Jack Black as the main character.
And Jason Momoa as well.
Yeah, so they're like, why are these two in when they're better than that and they're too famous for it? And like, where do they fit in Minecraft?
Yeah.
But it actually worked out in the end.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we've got two new... video game. Actually, no, tell a lie. There's three new video game movies that's coming out this year, if I remember it correctly. I think there's the new Super Mario Galaxies. Actually, I enjoyed that last Super Mario film because I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was good.
I mean, there were a lot of people saying that it wasn't very good, but I thought I really enjoyed it. I think it was really good.
It's another film that people laughed at the cast about.
Yeah.
They were saying, why is Chris Pratt being Mario, why is Jack Black voicing Bowser, etc.
I mean, are you two Mortal Kombat fans?
Not really, no.
Right. I was just going to say, what do you reckon to the casting of Johnny Cage for Mortal Kombat 2?
Who's playing him again, just remind me.
You know what, I'm going to have to come back to that.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
It's him from The Boys.
Oh, Carl Urban.
That's the one, yes. What do you reckon to him?
Just imagine him, because he's great in The Boys already, playing as Billy Butcher. I think he'd make a good Johnny Cage, actually.
But I think there was somebody else in the running that they were wanting to cast for. Well, I think there was a fan casting, should I say. And I think it was a wrestler called... Is it called The Wiz or something like that?
The Miz.
Sorry, I do apologise. The Wiz. I don't know where I got that from. The Miz. Love it, that one. You're going to call me for that one, aren't you? The Miz. Right, yeah, it's... No, I mean, he looked exactly like Johnny Cage. I mean he needed that attitude as well.
His wrestling gimmick is basically... Because he started doing acting like years ago, so his wrestling gimmick is like a Hollywood star.
Yeah.
So he's from Ohio originally.
Yeah.
But he says he's from Hollywood by way of Ohio, and he comes out with like sunglasses and looking like a movie star when he's in WWE.
I can't believe I just said The Wiz on the end of the
music. It rhymes.
Yeah.
It's almost right.
Yeah, almost right.
One letter off.
But, yeah, I mean, and then there's also going to be Zach Cregger's Resident Evil. And, I mean, have you two seen Barbarian and Weapons?
I've seen Weapons.
What do you reckon to
Weapons?
I think it was a little slow to start off with, but I think it picked up.
It did pick up.
Yeah.
Do you feel it kind of got a bit lost when it kept swapping different, like, to different characters. Because was there about six different characters and you get to see all their perspectives before you actually got to see what happened at the end, if you follow what I mean?
I can't remember how many there was, but there was a few different perspectives you could
see.
Yeah,
yeah. Do you think it kind of got lost in transition, if you get what I mean, with what they were trying to tell you? Or do you feel like it actually led on, but you just got to see different perspectives? So it's like you started off with teacher who got accused of
being a witch
and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We don't want to spoil too much of it. And these kids go missing about at night time. We go somewhere, we don't know exactly where to. Well, we do, but we don't want to spoil it for people who haven't seen it. And it's like this teacher was the only person who got accused of, like, taking their children and stuff like that, when it actually wasn't her. And then you get, like, zombified people in the story with no explanations whatsoever at the moment. It were a bit confusing at the start, I've got to say.
Did pick up, though, that is the main thing.
We
do have the interview we were supposed to play last week ready. Apologies again for not being able to play it last week. But Chris, just remind us who you were interviewing and what it's about.
Oh, yes, thank you for reminding me. It's so I went to Battle Carts and with my brother, and we had a couple of games, and we were going to talk a bit about what's it like to play at Battle Carts. So here's the Battle Carts interview.
Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to Communities Live here, Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. And we have the Battle Carts team, Kim and Alex. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Well, thank you for joining me today. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Yeah,
great. How
are you? I'm very well, thank you. I've really enjoyed my time at Battle Carts here today and playing a few games. I want to talk about how long has Battle Carts Sheffield been going around for?
So we opened mid-June this year, so roughly 6 months now. We're still pretty new, I would say.
That recent, I mean, I'm not really surprised because I thought it's been going on for a few years, to be honest. And so, I mean, what's inspired you to make Battle Carts Sheffield?
So there are already, you know, other locations just England, really. But the franchise itself, so it is a franchise, it's a Belgian company, and they've been growing since they first basically established in 2015. They've been growing ever since, and at this point there's over 60 locations worldwide. And with, you know, already three locations, you know, being in England, it kind of made sense to, you know, try to establish it a bit more in the UK, and since the Sheffield location is the only one, you know, in this area, it kind of made sense to open it here.
And I mean, to our listeners at home, I want to have a go at Battle Carts. Do we have to wear like VR headsets?
No, you don't actually. So you are actually driving a real go-kart. Everything is projected onto the floor, which allows for different tracks, different themes, different mini-games as well.
That's how we get to the motto, you don't play the game, you play in the game, because you're in the video game, so it's great for any sort of gamers out there.
And speaking of video games, are you also gamers yourself?
Oh, absolutely. All the time. Whenever I've got a 3 minute, I'll play games, especially racing ones. So even as a working here, it's like being on my days off.
Yeah. And I've got to ask as well, Amy, how many games are there at the moment for Battle Carts Sheffield?
So there's six in total. Obviously, pretty much every year there's going to be at least one big update with, you know, different, I don't know, just different track themes or anything like that. I don't know of any developments for any new games yet. I think the most recent one was actually Battle Pool that was released maybe about 1.5-ish years ago. So it's been a while since they put out a new game. They've definitely made quite a lot of other changes in the meantime. I mean, I'm sure that they're already working on other games. As of right now, there are 6 different game modes. Obviously, the race would be the most popular one. You will definitely get that in every single session. Like I mentioned in the beginning, you have different themes. So we've just had the Halloween theme, which was, a bit of a spooky one. And now we're just about to have the Christmas theme on. So it's going to be like a kind of snowy landscape. And you've got like little like presents on the track as well. So we've got quite a few gimmicks with the race. So it's definitely the game that you can play the most and never get tired of, really.
I mean, you just mentioned themes, so how many different themes are there for the year?
So for the track, there are, I think, 5 different ones. So there's a classic one with kind of like a meadowy landscape. There's a pirate-themed one. There's like a candy kind of land. And then there's also like a very like purpley bluish forest kind of theme. So I think it's 4 actually in total, but obviously there's the seasonal themes happening every now and then as well.
I want to talk to you about how you make the tracks. I mean, that's if you can tell us. I mean, how difficult is it to make them? Does it come together quite quickly, or does it take a lot of thinking to make the tracks?
I probably have quite a bit of experience with this. We have our own in-house map making system, although it has to go through quite a long process to be approved. So there are already sort of a plethora of different tracks available for all different sizes of venues. That's mainly controlled by HQ, hence the long process. But we have at least 8 and probably a couple more soon.
Yeah.
And is that same with the games as well? Does that take quite a long process to make as well?
Yeah, the games take quite a while to develop. I really don't know specifics. That is all coming from the headquarters in Belgium. We don't really have much to do with that at all. We can obviously, hand in suggestions or anything that we might like to see, but in the end it is down to the headquarters in terms of development. The core games in the very beginning were Battle Race, Battle Color, Battle Snake, and Battle Foot. So that would be like football kind of game, of course. Those were the core 4 games. And in the beginning, they were looking a bit more, I wouldn't necessarily say basic, but just less colorful. And now they kind of evolved into this very vibrant kind of immersive experience with, wall projection. So you're kind of basically surrounded by the projections as you're playing. They didn't have that in the beginning. So now that the franchise is kind of evolving so fast, they obviously grow their team as well. So I think it's now easier for them to make those changes more quickly or more efficiently, maybe. You have to kind of program everything. It definitely takes a while to develop everything.
And I mean, I played 4 games, and we played 2 races. One was a Battle Colour and Battle Snake,
yes.
And I mean, great games. And it's definitely, it took me a while to actually get used to the colours, but it was great fun. And I've got to say thank you for letting me play today. And I've got to ask as well, for the near future, if you can tell us, have you got any ideas for a game that you're currently working on, or is it all quite secretive at the moment?
So under wraps, that one. Could tell you, but we'd have to kill you.
No, yeah, we actually, yeah, there's NDAs in place and things that we obviously can't tell. I'm sure that they're working on new things. And When you're working for the company, you're able to hand in, you know, suggestions or wishes of what you might like to see for the future. So, yeah, who knows? Maybe actually, you know, at some point, someone's idea is going to come to life, which I think is like really fun. So, yeah, for Battlecard, it's very much all about working together. I don't really know how it works for other franchises, but for them, even though they have over 60 locations, I think they really want to try to keep that connection up between franchisees and not really want to like alienate anyone. So yeah, we keep close in touch with the HQ. So yeah, it definitely is quite a productive relationship, I would say.
So watch your space, ladies and gentlemen, for on latest games. I want to talk about how long does each game last?
15 minutes a session. Within each session, there are normally 3, sometimes 4 mini games, depending on which mini games you would choose. And each of those may last 3 to maybe 6 minutes, depending on the mini game. So Virus, one of the newer ones, does take like up to 10 minutes, really.
Yeah.
And that one is very cooperative. It's very involved. We don't recommend it for the faint of heart, that sort of thing. But the standard race, maybe 3 minutes, and then you have time to change track, try out some new tactics, maybe gently nudge your friends off the track sideways.
And I want to say as well, I mean, because there's a lot of power-ups in this, and I've got to say, what is the most powerful power-up you can use?
I think it depends on what you're after. If you obviously want a bit of a thrill, then it would be the boost or the nitro. Because if you're just watching the videos, it doesn't translate as well, but usually the response we get from customers or anyone who does it for the first time is that, oh my god, I wouldn't have thought that the cards would actually go so fast.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the reaction that the nitro gets from people. So I think most people would wish that they would kind of be able to enable that all the time, constantly. Whereas if you're more looking for like kind of maybe annoying your friends or I don't know, like preventing them from overtaking you, then it might be the rocket, because you actually get 2 of those. And for all the other power-ups, you only ever have 1 at a time, but the rockets you have 2, so you could even hit 2 people, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it, kind of depends what you're after. I think that the shield is quite powerful as well, though, because obviously, you know, it might stop people's rockets or their oil to affect you. So, yeah, it depends, but I mean, personally, I do enjoy the boost. I'm not gonna lie.
It's hard not to like the boost, but I think in terms of pure strategy, using an oil spill, it makes people take longer routes, and then sometimes, you know, they think they've avoided it and they haven't, and then it takes them even longer to get back in the race.
Yeah.
So that's the best one for annoying the other staff, at least.
I've got to say, I mean, I don't think I had the oil spill, but I mean, I was actually quite surprised about the nitro, because I thought when you actually drive them, they're quite fast already, but you don't realise how fast you actually go when you've used the nitro. I mean, it's great. And also when you get hit by the rocket as well, how reactive that is, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. The system is definitely quite incredible. So the team have really built something quite astonishing, I think. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And something worth mentioning probably is, like, contrary to what people would associate usually with go-karting, you actually don't wear helmets or any overalls or anything like that. Obviously, if you wear white, your clothes might not stay as pristine. But you can just, you know, wear your daily, day-to-day clothes, which I think is really fun. And because you don't wear helmets, you get to interact with other players. So if you're you know, coming in with a group of friends or family, then I think that really adds quite a nice element to it, which you usually don't get when you're, you know, just go-karting. So obviously this is more about, you know, playing as you're in your kart. So I think that is really fun. And yeah, obviously there's still a safety aspect to it. You have to keep buckled up for the entire time. And we also have an anti-collision system, which you might have noticed as well. Like when you get close to someone else, your kart will slow down a bit. Same thing happens if you cut the track or anything like that. So even though we don't have any, you know, walls or anything like that, the system will prevent you from just directly like crashing into someone or something.
And I think I've actually accidentally crashed into my brother Matthew a couple of times, so I'm guilty as charged on that. And I've got to say it as well, I mean, the last game, I think I completely lost the way because I went completely out of control with the way the map was. But again, it was great fun, I say thank you. And I've got to ask as well, I mean, is there like a minimum height that you have to be to enter metal carts?
Definitely. It's 1.45 meters, which is 4'9". If anyone is shorter than that, unfortunately, won't reach even with pedals, pedal extensions and a booster seat. And that is our limit for safety.
Okay.
So, as sort of going off what we previously said with the anti-collision, it is great for families and people that wouldn't normally get involved with go-karting, but we have to be strict on our safety procedures because it's only for a safe range of people.
And is there a minimum age as well that people can go metal carts?
No. Could have the world's tallest 2-year-old as long as they can reach the pedal safely, it's all right.
So, and I mean, what is the price? So, for a game to play, again, how much is it?
It's £19.50 per person for your first session, £18.50 per person for your second, and £17 per person for each one after that. If you're in a group of more than 10, it knocks all of those prices down by £1 per person. And we also have deals for birthday parties and corporate events, but they'd have to ask us very nicely.
And I mean, to our listeners, I mean, how can people book?
Nice and easy.
Yeah, so usually we recommend just to book online because that obviously guarantees you a spot at, you know, your preferred time. Of course, we do accept walk-ins, or if you feel like you just want to try it out and you only book one session online, and then, you know, if we have availabilities, you're very welcome to book more here. But especially for weekends, booking online is pretty much the easiest way. Our website shows you availabilities as well. It shows you which slots are completely free or which slots may be occupied or completely full. So it is pretty straightforward. But yeah, I mean, you know, if you ever feel like just walking in, then we can, you know, get people booked in here at our front desk as well. But yeah, again, with larger groups, the safer bet is to book online, or at least call beforehand, and then we're happy to tell anyone, you know, how busy it currently is. But yeah.
And for our listeners, I mean, where are you based?
We're up in Brightside, which is near Burngreave, about a mile away from Meadowhall. So we're just down the road. If you do some shopping, you want to try it out. I'm not entirely sure which bus links there are up this end, but it's pretty well connected considering the location, and the tram's not too far away as well.
Alex, Kim, it's been an absolute pleasure. My final question for you is, what would you like to say to our audience who is currently listening right now?
Well, I would say if you are a fan of anything relating to racing, go-karting and or gaming, then Battle Kart is definitely a very fun experience for pretty much anyone aged, you know, 12 or upwards, just because of the height restriction. Obviously you kind of have to estimate the age, but yeah, I mean, like Alex mentioned, it's for families, it's for corporate events, it's for birthday parties, basically, yeah, it definitely is a entirely new experience that you can't really compare to anything,
yeah,
I don't think.
That's very true.
So, yeah, definitely, if you've, you know, are interested in any of these things whatsoever, do feel free to come over, even if it's just to have a look, because it really is super fun. Although we might be biased, but I still think that's a fair statement.
I think that's fair. Yeah, it's absolutely for families and people that just want to have fun. And I don't think fun has an age limit, really. Maybe a height limit.
That is true.
And I'm going to say, I've had a brilliant time, so thank you so much for setting that up. Alex, Kim, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you as well. Thank you.
Was Black Sabbath,
Paranoid. And you know what, great song. Paranoia, is it?
Paranoid.
So, and I mean, as I was saying before, you know, before he actually died, I mean, I've never actually listened to Ozzy Osbourne's music.
Have you
not? First, I mean, and the reason why I thought, and a lot of people are gonna sound, may sound I'm a bit controversial on this, but I always thought he was doing more screamo kind of music. I didn't think he was going to be more along the lines of Kiss, Bon Jovi, Guns N' Roses kind of music.
You're basing that off the fact that he appeared more gothic.
I mean, if you look at him, long black hair, like eyeliner, tattoos.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, he's a great singer, but I kind of envisioned his music to be.
Yeah.
And I thought, no, it's not my kind of music. But when I actually got to listen to him, I was actually surprised. So, in a good way, because I'm actually starting to listen to him a bit more. And you know what? I wish I'd listened to him all those years now, because he's brilliant singer.
I saw Black Sabbath live while they were touring the 13 album, and they were amazing.
Where did you go and see him then?
Sheffield Arena.
Oh, did they come to Sheffield Arena?
Yeah.
Wow. So, you know what? I didn't think they would come to Sheffield Arena. I thought they would have gone to more like, you know, places where you get like 50, 60,000 people.
Like stadiums.
Or like Hillsborough Park, where you could fill about 50, 60,000 people in one day. Or like Hyde Park or Wembley Arena, stuff like that. Like
big outdoor spaces.
Yeah. So I'm surprised. I mean, I'm surprised that it would come to Sheffield Arena. And
what year was it you saw them? It would have been a few years ago, I imagine.
I think it was 2013, 2014. It was for my 17th birthday, so it would have been like 2013, 14, something like that.
You know, I mean, another band that I would love to have seen, and I mean, I don't know if they're coming to Sheffield Arena or if they're doing it at the Sheffield United Stadium. Def Leppard.
It's the arena. Pyromania, their album, celebrating its 43rd, hence why I played Photograph and Action Not Words, because their first album, well, the first big album, celebrated its 43rd birthday. And in America, it sold over 10 million copies to this day.
Wow.
I haven't got the UK figures, unfortunately, but I know in the US it was 10 million copies.
They're absolutely massive in America. I mean,
they made the name there first, before the UK, actually, funny enough.
And you know what? To say they're a Sheffield band, you would have thought we would have made it in Sheffield. I mean, well, you have made it in Sheffield. But I meant, like, you would have thought we would have been more well-known in Sheffield than what we are in America.
I would have thought there would have been, like, an Arctic Monkeys or a Pulp, where they made their name in Sheffield first and exploded onto the scene here.
Yeah.
But it was America that did it first.
Yeah. And I think if you made it in America, you made it everywhere, haven't you?
You've done it.
Yeah.
Once you've done that. Speaking of Arctic Monkeys, actually, they have a new song coming out this afternoon.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And you know what? If you're listening to Arctic Monkeys, come to our studio, because we'd love to talk to you about the new single and also do an interview with you. So if you're listening, please get in touch.
It is it's a charity song, I believe. We're working with a charity called War Child. And in the name, I think the charity is to do with, you know, war-torn countries and supporting those affected.
Yeah.
Because war's always been a horrible thing for years and years and years, and it still continues to affect people today around the world, and they've come together to do this. I haven't got the title of the song, so I think we find out. I think it's 3 o'clock this afternoon it comes up, so I think we shall play it next week on the show.
Yeah, definitely. But definitely giving a mention, yes.
But yeah, they only found out yesterday they've got a new song, and it's their first song in, I think, about 4 years.
I've also just remembered there was supposed to be a competition last week that we mentioned about, but we're going to delay the competition results till next week now, because we need to get some more people involved. So again, if you want to get into our competition for the pothole survival kit, this is our question. You know what? I completely forgot the question there. Just bear with me 2 seconds.
Wasn't it something like, what do drivers most commonly occur at winter time or something, or crash into
it's
at winter time or something like that?
Yes, that's the one, yes. Thank you. Thanks, Brad. Thanks for that. So what do people actually crash into mostly in winter time? Is it A, potholes, B, palm trees, or C, hedgehogs? Yeah. What do you think? It's a pretty difficult question, I've got to say.
Oh, I can't even think.
Beautiful Sheffield palm trees.
Maybe
if it's a palm tree, then maybe a coconut falls on the car after.
Yeah.
maybe that's why it's the answer.
But anyway, so if you want to get involved in winning this competition, it is a huge prize. I mean, it's a pothole survival kit, which is worth £140.
So what am I
from Fix My Car? So thank you, Fix My Car, for this. So if you want to get involved in winning this competition, please get in touch with us at chrisandnelly89@gmail.com. You can also find us on our Facebook page at Commuters Live, or you can get in touch with us on our Sheffield Live website. So it's a huge prize. Please get involved and good luck to the winner.
Yep. Indeed. Well, we're all coming to near the end of the show, actually, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
Always flies, doesn't it?
Always flies. We've had another good show. I mean, we've had a little Resident Evil chat again. We finally heard the Battle Carts interview.
Yes, thank you for that. And, Brad, we need to get you up to date on Resident Evil because you're missing out.
I keep meaning to play them. Like, that some of them are on Xbox Game Pass, so I've got no excuse now.
Yeah, you really need to play them, I mean, because they are one of the... Well, I recommend playing Resident Evil first.
Yeah.
The original Resident Evil, because you can play Resident Evil 2 and 3, but it kind of spoils where Resident Evil 1.
Yeah.
Because it's like, they're following on from where... Resident Evil follows on from where Resident Evil left off, okay, but with different characters.
Yeah.
But I don't want to say too much about it because, like I say, it's worth playing. We'll let you play
and then you can give us your verdict.
Which ones are available for the PlayStation 1?
Available for the PlayStation 1?
Yeah.
Well, you got the original Resident Evil, and then you got the original Resident Evil 2 and 3.
Okay.
But we've got remakes as well. We've already got a remake of Resident Evil 1, 2 and 3. Yeah. But saying that, you can still play the originals and still get to understand the story.
Yeah, because I've still got my PS2 still from when I was like, four or something. So
if you play the original, I mean, you can still get up to date on playing the original Resident Evil games. Yeah. I mean, if you play the original Resident Evil, it's kind of similar to what the remakes are, the same story, just a bit more modernised, if you get what I mean.
Yeah.
So play the originals, I think, and then let me know what you think. If I can
find the originals, which is why I was asking which ones are available for the PS1.
Yeah, so if you can find the originals, play them, and then also play the remakes as well, and then see what you think.
The 2 and 3 remakes are on Game Pass, so I can play them right away.
7's on Game Pass.
Yeah.
Village has just come to Game Pass.
Yeah.
So you've got quite a few that it's number 4 on Game Pass.
I'm not sure.
I mean, there used to be a Resident Evil remake and Resident Evil 0, but I don't recommend playing Resident Evil 0 first. I recommend playing Resident Evil first, the original Resident Evil, then 2, then 3, then go back to Resident Evil 0.
Yeah.
Because if you go back to Resident Evil 0, it will spoil Resident Evil, the original.
Yeah.
So I recommend leaving that one out first, Resident Evil 0. Let me know what you think.
We'll try and find it.
Well, we are at the end of the show, unfortunately.
Got time for one more song.
But just quickly, Chris, how can you get in touch to join us on this table and talk all sorts?
Yes, we're still looking for more volunteers, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, we are... we have our little team here, but we're still looking to expand. And plenty of room
on the table still.
There's still plenty of more room for more volunteers and presenters. So if you're interested in presenting and joining our little team, you can get into contact with us at our Communities Live Facebook page. We also have an email address at chrisandnelly89@gmail.com, which you can contact me on. Or you can find us, if you want more information about Sheffield Live, you can find us on our very own Sheffield Live webpage as well.
With that is the end of the show. Brad, this is your last song of the day, is your choice, and it's by another great British metal band. And take it away with this song. What is it?
So this one is Number of the Beast by Iron Maiden.
Sends the beast with wrath because he knows the time is short. Let him who hath understanding reckon the number of the beast, for it is a human number. Its number is 666.
I left alone, my mind was blank. I needed time to
What did I see? Can I believe that what I saw that night was real and not just fantasy? Just what I saw in my old dreams were the reflections of my woman staring back at me.